What's up, internet? Welcome back to a bonus podcast episode of the Engadget Podcast. I'm senior editor Devendra Hardwar. This week, I'm joined by deputy editor Nate Ingram. Hey, Nate.
Hey, Devendra. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. We are fresh off of the Apple iPhone 17 launch event, so we have all this stuff baked in our minds right now. We've got a lot of thoughts. We have not touched these phones, but these are our first impressions, and we're going to briefly run down the event, everything Apple announced, and also, you know, let us know what you all think about it. But Nate, you know, before we begin, this was a really tight event, 70 minutes. It felt like we just moved quickly. That was nice. Apple did not belabor anything. It just moved well compared to that Google Pixel event, which just felt like a very long episode of The Tonight Show.
It was very long, and it was very kind of like scattered, whereas this was like product.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it helped that a lot of them are iterative, and I don't mean that in a bad way. We'll get into it as we talk through them, but like it was pretty easy to explain, say, what an AirPods Pro 3 is, right?
Pretty much. And yeah, I guess iterative is the real name of the game here. Like, they did show off the iPhone Air, which is the big thing everybody was, you know, rumored to see. That was the big thing we were expecting. And I have to say, you know, we talked to Mark Gurman from Bloomberg, and he was not super hot on it. Seeing it demoed, seeing it actually like used, and seeing how thin it actually looks, it is interesting, especially because it does have the new A19 Pro chip too. So it's sort of like straddling the point between the standard A17, which is typical iPhone upgrade, and the A17 Pro, which has, you know, it remains the prosumer, the power user phone. This one is interesting, but I don't quite know. But let's run down this event from the start and, you know, talk about these products. The first thing we saw, Nate, was the AirPods Pro 3, which, you know, we saw some rumors around it. The rumors were that there were going to be new AirPods Pro with some sort of health tracking. These do have built-in heart rate sensors, but a couple other interesting features too that they didn't really spend too much time on this, but they say there are foam-infused tips, which are interesting. Because previously, like most other earbuds, they relied on silicone tips alone. What I do with my AirPods Pro and those headphones, I go to Comply, C-O-M-P-L-Y. That's a company that makes foam tips for any sort of headphones, and they feel amazing. I always replace those on my AirPods, even though they cost a ton. But they help with the seal. They help with the sound quality. How do you feel about that particular change, Nate?
That's really interesting. I mean, the first thing... I remember they also mentioned they're doing 5 sizes, which is nice. So like that's, I think, helpful for just generally people, what they're doing. I think it sounds like they're in the, based on like the image they showed, it looks like they're in the like part that attaches to the actual headphone itself, at least best I could see. Like you said, they didn't spend a ton of time on it, but you know, anything that'll, you know, improve the ANC performance and doing it in a way that's like with physical material instead of software is kind of interesting.
Totally. I'm looking here at our site, by the way. It looks like Billy Steele just put up his hands-on. So Billy's saying the improved ANC, basically better ANC. I think, what was the number? Like 4X?
4X the originals, 2X the 2.
Which is good because the 2s were a big leap over the originals when it came to noise canceling. Billy says the ANC improvement is impressive. Apple also said that there's better spatial audio support, so it'll be really interesting to see like what that means. These things, it's weird because they do look like they're shaped a little differently to sort of fit in your ear canal better. That's something Apple talked about, but it's also really easy to look at these and not really see a huge difference between the AirPods Pro 2.
No, I wouldn't know to look at them, except I believe on the stems you can see the microphones more visibly now, whereas I was just looking at my old ones, and it's just like a sealed thing entirely. So that's kind of interesting. There was some other physical change. No, I think that's it, actually. But the ANC is a big one. Longer battery life, also good.
Activity tracking, too. Like, activity tracking built in. You could wear these things and track certain exercises, certain things without having an Apple Watch. That's
really,
do you find that useful?
Because that's kind of crazy.
There is, so folks, we are just like absorbing all this information too, so it's all coming quickly. But they have built-in heart rate sensors. They tie into the iOS like workout experience. So that's all. It's kind of interesting. Like the thing that I was kind of feeling is that maybe the iPhones this year would not be that interesting of an upgrade, but what if, you know, the clutch upgrade really seems like it'll be maybe getting the new AirPods Pro and maybe the new Apple Watch. And that's also something that I don't think we expected much from, but we did get news about the Apple Watch Series 11. And that one looks, they say it's the thinnest Apple Watch ever. It adds 5G, hypertension tracking. Just seems like another Apple Watch with a few more features. Another really sentimental ad from Apple saying, you know, from people saying, oh, my Apple Watch saved my life. I'm always like, I don't like that sort of marketing, but also it's genuinely true that these things could help people and have helped people. What are your thoughts on the Apple Watch Series 11, Nate?
Yeah, so as somebody who has a 9 that I've had for almost 2 years, the things that stand out to me are they mentioned improved battery life on the standard Apple Watch for the first time, which I think is significant. Like that I'm really interested in testing out because, you know, when I got the 9, like I said, I got it almost 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. The first year, I had zero issues with the battery. I would wear it overnight. The next day I'd have enough juice to go through most of the day. I'd throw on the charger for half an hour before bed and just keep going essentially. And then somewhere in the second year, it just like cratered. And now I have to, if I go on a run, I'm not going to make it through a whole day basically. Because I use that on cellular, I'll stream music while I'm running. And
are you like religiously putting on your Apple Watch? Like every day you're always doing it?
I wear it most days unless I want to wear a nice watch, which I do sometimes. But as as it's kind of like trailed off, I find myself reaching for it less, as you do.
Gotcha.
But I've worn one pretty much since they launched. And like I said, first time they're actually touting better battery. My hope is that, you know, if the battery stayed the way it was when I first got this, I was fine. Because it was definitely more than the 18 hours, they say. But because it's such a small battery, once it starts to degrade, you really notice it. So I'm hopeful that, like, with this better battery in the new one, you know, you'll get a better peak. And then as it ages, it'll be useful for longer. Fingers crossed. And
maybe I feel like for an Apple Watch, if you are a regular user, I feel like if you have a phone that you want to keep within 2 to 3 years, you should probably do a battery swap. Just given the way lithium ion batteries degrade, like that's performance goes down considerably. You do kind of increase the longevity of a phone just by swapping its battery. Kind of feels like a brand new thing. One thing we didn't mention about the AirPods Pro 3, by the way, they demoed like live translation directly through the earbuds. That's kind of cool. We've seen some of these demos using like Google stuff, but you're basically holding up a phone to people. Like you're kind of sharing a phone back and forth. The Apple showed off live translation that basically automatically happens within the AirPods Pro, but also will translate to your phone for like if you're interacting with somebody at a store, you could show them your phone and that'll translate what you're saying to their language. That seems cool if it actually works, but I don't know if this is like the better Siri Apple showed off or if this is a thing that actually works and will work as easily as they show it. You know,
this, I mean, this feels better than the actual Siri because they announced it on a product that's shipping in a week.
Yeah.
So they don't have it. Whereas Siri was always coming and never came. I think, between this and the live translate stuff they showed off at WWDC, which doesn't necessarily require the AirPods, you know, I think it's really like it's one of the first smart uses of Apple intelligence and like AI in general. You know, again, other companies, Google's doing this, but I think it's one of those things that can genuinely make life simpler and help you in a situation where you are, you know, needing to get your point across and you're not able to do it. You know, maybe it's not the most frequent problem you'll run into unless you're like a constant global traveler, in which case kudos to you. But you know, I could absolutely see this being useful.
It's I don't know. We have to see that in action again. Like the thing about Apple's events is that this is all slick marketing, right? These are pre-produced videos. Nothing is happening live and we don't see issues on camera. Whereas Google, to their credit, that event showed live issues, but also it showed the tech in action and showed people actually using it. So we kind of know it works.
I kind of didn't realize that we lost that when it went to all the pre-roll stuff. And like, obviously I get why I do it. The production values, blah, blah, blah. But like, it's nice to see like, okay, here's this thing working in real time instead of it just being like, they shoot it until it works or they just, you know, fake it essentially. Yeah.
And also in addition to the new Apple Watch, which I think I will probably be getting, there is a new Series 3. Which also has 5G, SE, it has an SE3. There we go. But it has stronger glass. It has 5G as an option as well. Temperature sensing. Are you using any of the health stuff?
Always on display, too.
Yeah, always on display. That's kind of cool. The SE is 250. The Series 11 is 400. Yeah, for that cost. I think I bought my wife an SE 1 years ago, and she likes it, and it's enough for her purposes.
Yep.
And the choice for people is really, do you need just basic smartwatchy stuff? Do you want something more? Then you get the standard Apple Watch series, and then if you want something more, you could jump up to the Ultra 3,
extra more,
that is $800. And I don't know. It just seems like more Apple Watch. It adds satellite communications. It has 5G like these two. I still look at this thing and I think it's very ugly when I see it on people in Apple's commercials. And also, I've seen it in person. All I see are keyboard warriors wearing Apple Watch Ultras. Yeah, I don't see
so
any
when I went
like
to
major
WWC
fitness people
in person. Yeah, know, everyone there has one, right? The attendees and as well as employees. And you know, first of all, like as I mentioned, I kind of like a nice watch and. 49 millimeters is an absolutely massive watch for anyone else. You've got a really big wrist. Like it's, and the point is like, this is not designed to be like a fashion, you know, thing like a nice, you know, watch might be, right? It's purely for function, and the size increases the function. It increases the battery life. It lets them do things like put in satellite communications. So from that perspective, I think the size is appropriate, but I think that the people who need to use something like this, it's a very small market. Like I'm impressed by its capabilities. I even remember when they announced it, I was like, wow, this really does sound like if you're a big outdoors person, you do serious, you know, swimming or diving, you do like ultra marathon kind of running. Yes, this thing is like a great, you know, great option. But unless you're like active to a point where it's like a very core part of your routine and personality, it seems like overkill.
It seems like something Apple added just because they noticed when they released really expensive products, there is a subset of their users that will just buy them, you know, like the AirPods Max, the Pro iPhones. I feel like that was a thing. It was all about pushing, you know, average revenue per unit, right?
Yep.
Like, so rather than relying on people buying more $700 or so dollar iPhones, pushing the price past $1,000 really helped Apple on the revenue front and also gave the more demanding users that new tech. Outside of going to Apple events, Nate, I don't think I've seen an Apple Watch Ultra in the wild.
I see them pretty infrequently. I mean, well, whereas I see the regular one constantly, right?
Exactly. So what is next after this? And then after we kind of cleared through all this stuff, two iPhones. iPhone 17 is here.
Three iPhones.
Anything you want to say about the iPhone 17 before we get to the air?
I was surprised at how little it differed from the 16. Visually.
It's fine. It seems fine.
Display upgrade, though, really, you know, overdue, but still nice, right? Like, I'm glad that it's got ProMotion. Yeah. I'm glad that it's always on. You know, that makes it, I think, an even more viable option for more people. And then secondly, I was a bit miffed at the way they presented the cameras because it almost tricks me into thinking it did have a legit telephoto lens this time. It has what I gather is the same or similar 48 megapixel sensor on the main camera, which because, you know, you're at a high megapixel, you can crop in to 2x and not lose out on quality. So that's what that main camera is doing. The one that changed is the ultra wide angle, which now also has a 48 megapixel sensor. So like that's a fine upgrade, but I don't know who needs a 48 megapixel wide angle camera.
I think because what I see, and I'm looking at the specs here, they do call it a 2x telephoto.
But note that it's so. Yeah. I saw that image too, and originally I thought that the top part that said fusion main camera was referring to the top one,
right?
And the telephoto was the bottom one. They're talking about the single lens on the bottom,
and the
2x telephoto is literally just them cropping.
Yeah, that is wonderful cropping by Apple.
It looks real good. I use the 2x on my older iPhone pretty frequently, so I've no beef with it. But like, don't try and tell me it's like a telephoto lens.
That's true. That's true. So, I mean, that's at least they're not cropping like straight to half. They're saying 2x telephoto. So you're cropping, but also maybe doing some like pixel gathering to kind of make that the thing.
Yeah.
Basic iPhone for basic folks. But yeah, ProMotion screen. We ran a piece saying, I think it was Igor, saying if they don't have ProMotion, he's not going to upgrade from the base iPhone. I do think Igor and most of us in Gadget will be better off with the Pro phones. But, you know, Android phones have had high refresh rate displays for years.
Yep.
Google has been good about this. Samsung has been good about this. It means scrolling, which is what we do. We doom scroll all the time. It looks smoother. It looks cleaner. It gives you less of a headache on a high refresh rate display. So that is just a good thing. A good thing for basic users.
Going back feels tough. Right? Mm-hmm. Like once you switch, you don't want to go back to something lower rate.
Basically, that's the main things here.
Yeah, other than that, there's really not a whole lot. It's the screen. It's a better. Oh, the front, the selfie camera is cool. In that, I believe it's a square sensor that you can now. It's much higher megapixel rating means they'll crop it to vertical or horizontal as you see fit. So if you want to do a horizontally framed selfie, you can do it without actually turn the phone.
That is kind of cool. Got,
basically, it has extra resolution to like crop as you want.
That is really, I think that's the first time we've seen that, right? Like a square front-facing sensor means essentially it doesn't matter how you're holding the phone. And if you're holding, like, we're used to turning our phones horizontally for rear picture photos. Like, I think that makes sense. That's how you use a camera. But for selfies, it's just like, you're always vertical. You want to stay vertical.
I think that's the problem is that, like, you're always holding it vertically. But often if you want to capture more people and it needs to be on its side, which is awkward to hold, harder to shoot. So I think, it's a good change. It's a smart change.
That is interesting. That new camera, by the way, is across the entire iPhone lineup. So square front-facing sensor. It'll be on the Pros. It's on everything as well. I think that's it. I think that's it for the 17, the plain 17. What do you think about the iPhone Air? This is the one we've been waiting for.
Yeah, man.
It does look crazy thin. It does look crazy impressive.
Yeah, the imagery Apple shows off makes it look a lot more interesting. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be one of those things that if you go see in person, you're going to be like, oh, damn, this thing is cool.
Yeah.
For sure. Right. Like, again, somebody who really thought the super thin iPad Pro is super cool. Again, there's more of a, we talked about this last week, there's more of a benefit to having a thinner tablet because it's lighter, it's easier to hold in your hands for longer periods of time. Whereas nobody's like holding a regular iPhone 17 and saying, "Oh, it's hard to hold this all day." So again, like the actual utility of this is absent.
But it's it's cool. I mean,
it is cool. And I will say, as somebody who's been buying an iPhone forever and is like bored and kind of burnt out on tech, I'm like, maybe I'll just buy this thing
just to feel something.
Yeah, to feel something, to try something different.
The core image they're showing of just like it balanced on somebody's fingertip, which I'm sure is like assisted somehow. It's you're not gonna be able to balance that phone. But compared to what you could do, what is a typical, this is with a case, this is a 15 Pro Max, it looks less impressive.
Wildly different. Yeah.
Almost the entire width of my finger. I could say
the back plateau doesn't look as jarring in these images as I expected it to, also, even though I think it is essentially like double the width double the thickness as the rest of the body.
I could see it just to try something different for this for the next year to swap over to this, because I have a 15 Pro Max right now. But the thing is, I use those cameras a lot. Telephoto cameras are great. If you have kids or pets, like, it is great for getting in without like disturbing a scene. And you can do that. This has the same like crop in 2x telephoto zoom.
But there's a huge difference between 2 and 5, right? Like, it's just not going to be as useful. But it's better than I thought. It's got the A19 Pro.
Yeah.
It has a slightly larger display if you're into that, while still keeping all the display goodies. It drops the wide angle camera, which means there's no macro, which is a little bit of a bummer to me. That's perhaps the thing I'd have the most misgivings about.
You use a lot of macro, really?
I do, surprisingly. And I think that it's probably good enough that you can still take good close-up shots without it. One of the camera app Halid, I remember when the 16e came out, they put the single camera through its paces to see what it could do. And that one also doesn't have macro. Like, you can kind of like make it work with some focusing and like get some cool shots of stuff up close. But
The dual capture mode is interesting too, enabled by the new A19 Pro processor. So again, this thing is supposedly to a certain extent as powerful as the Pro models, but we'll talk about why that may not fully be the case. Dual capture, capturing front-facing and rear-facing video, something other Android phones have had for a while. We were talking about it in Slack, like Nokia had done it in some of their cameras back in the day. I remember that. So it's not like a brand new thing, but it is kind of cool to see it back and also have stabilization on both ends, which is what you could do with the modern cameras. I could see people doing something with that, where you have the little window up front. There are several camera apps that will do that for you right now. Kind of cool.
Very curious to see how popular it is. Like, that's the thing. I want to see, are people going to buy into this? And that'll tell us a lot, because for years now, Apple's had this, you know, the 7, you know, in this vernacular, the 17, the two sizes of the 17 Pro. And they had, for a while, they had the iPhone Mini and then the iPhone Plus, neither of which really seemed to take off. You know, and I understood, I wasn't shocked that the iPhone Mini didn't stick around, even though I really wanted it to.
The Plus is nice. Like,
everyone likes the bigger screen, but I'm guessing, again, that it didn't sell the way they wanted. Right. I think the people who are like, I want big screen, just kind of jumped straight to the Pro.
The Pro Max. I mean, I mentioned this.
If they were selling a lot of the iPhone 17 or the 16 Plus and the previous ones, they would have kept it.
I mentioned this before, like I think my parents really like the Plus phones. That's what I typically get them, because it's just easier to use without putting on your reading glasses and everything. So for seniors and people who just want a better screen at a lower price, you know, the Plus was a good option, but I could also see why Apple got rid of it. They are also talking about the Air being tougher than other models too. Ceramic Shield 2 on the front and the back.
I believe they're doing that on all of them. Well, maybe not the 17.
Not the 17.
The Max has a similar setup,
The Max is the Pro has a totally, like, redesigned back with the camera bump and ceramic at the bottom. But, you know, this is one of those situations where it's like, I may wait until I go into an Apple store and just feel these for myself. Because when iPhone 15 time came, like, I was kind of deciding between the 15 Pro and Pro Max. And it took me going to the store, kind of holding the Pro Max to see that new titanium case felt good and lighter. Like, that's why I moved over to the Pro Max. For the Pros now, we're going to move off of the Air. What is the price of the Air? That is one thing.
$999.
Okay.
So the same as the iPhone 16 Pro was a year ago.
Okay. It kind of makes sense. So the Pros jump up even more. The new Pros, Apple says that they've developed an aluminum unibody case. Remember the first time you heard aluminum unibody case?
Nate? It was around, like, 2008 MacBook?
It was MacBook Air. I think it was around the MacBook Air. Certainly, like, as we were getting into that, like, maybe 2010 era, aluminum unibody should be strong. There's no glass on the rear. It has ceramic shield. No actual glass other than the camera lenses. And the Pros just seem like a ho-hum upgrade, right? Like, it is A19 Pro chip, so it's going to be faster. It's going to be more efficient. They have a vapor chamber cooling setup, which is interesting. And I do think for people who are going to be doing serious work with these phones, if you're actually getting this to take high-res video a lot, you're going to want a Pro phone. You're not going to want an Air, because that Air, I don't know how well it's going to dissipate heat. Like, it may not have the same chip, but it's not going to have the same sustained performance as, like, the Pro phones, which is the same problem we have with the MacBook Air versus the MacBook Pros. You know, like, having better cooling just means you can ride that chip, make it run a little hotter and make it be more demanding with it.
I believe they also talked about it in the context of additional, like, battery efficiency as well, right? Which, like, is a pretty big thing for me.
It's interesting. And otherwise, like, we get a new orangey color, which is kind of nice. It's nice to have, like, a bright Pro color for once. You've got a silver one, a dark one. If I do go Pro, I would go orange again, just to feel something, folks, because we are bored, jaded gadget fans here. They say the biggest battery ever put in an iPhone. So again, another push towards the Pro for people who really need that. The Air, they're saying they did, like, flatten a pretty decent battery in that and try to get as much as they can. But the thinness of that phone is really making me wonder about the real-world battery life. The Pro is also finally getting a 48-megapixel telephoto camera, so that joins the Fusion Ultra-Wide and the Fusion Main camera. 48 megapixels across the board. That means the telephoto can do 48-megapixel 4x optical zoom and step down to 12 megapixels 8x optical quality zoom. That's the cropping again. That's the very specific language they're using.
But I'm not mad at it in this case. Like this in this application of it, I think that's great. And I'm like really like that's the thing is part of me has been like, oh, maybe I'll get a cheaper iPhone or whatever. But like I do take a lot of pictures and I enjoy taking pictures and having increased flexibility across that wide rate that wide range of different focal lengths is pretty exciting to me.
It is. And but that's kind of it. Like it has a ceramic shield front too, has that center stage camera. Screen sizes hasn't changed. The actual screen technology, I don't think, has changed at all. Like they didn't talk about anything else.
No, if you have kind of the same across the entire lineup now, which like I don't hate.
It's great, but also it means there's less of an impressive technical bump by going to the pros. If you, Apple does not typically talk about RAM, but I would be interested in seeing like what the RAM difference is between the 17 Pros and the 16 Pros. Some of the early leaks say it may have more RAM to run like, AI models in the background better.
I believe Apple, it's even, they don't talk much about RAM and specific numbers, but I believe on stage they said that they bumped up the RAM in the 19 Pro.
I heard better memory, faster subsystem. So like the better memory performance it's certainly going to have. But yeah, we have to look up the number for that again.
And then this is one case where the price has changed. As I mentioned, the Air is $999. The Pro now starts at $1099. And they're kind of justifying that by saying, well, you know, last year the Pro with 128 started at $999, and now the Pro starts at $256 for $1099, which is the same as it cost last year. So, you know, they're fudging the numbers a little bit. But, like, I think, honestly, that's the only product that had any semblance of a price increase. And, like, given the state of the economy and the state of the world, the fact that nothing else got any price bump is, like, pretty good.
And that's kind of it. They finished the iPhone 17 Pro and they wrapped. They were done. So that felt a little, I don't know, anticlimactic. What are your overall feelings, Nate? Like, is there anything that's actually exciting to you? Because for me, it's still AirPods Pro 3. That seems interesting. And I need a new Apple Watch. So that's just me. What about you?
Yeah. So like I said, I have a 9. I'm going to try and ride that for another year, probably. My phone is now, I've had it for 2.5 years, but it is 3 years old. So I could see myself upgrading, but I don't know which one yet because then I think
about you got to go to the store and feel it. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that's actually key in this case is like I'll go pick up the Air and I'll see what our review says in terms of real world battery usage and then make a decision. One more point about battery is that on the Air, they specifically made a magnetic battery case or battery attachment for it, which they haven't offered in a few years. And like that kind of tells you what to expect, right? About it. If they're already like out of the gate in the presentation, here's our battery extender. You know, like what is that?
And the battery extender makes it look like a normal iPhone. Like it's a super thin battery. Yes. Now you've got a normal iPhone. It's kind of
like pop that off when you're like on a normal day and
it's kind of cool.
I mean, I'm gonna pick it up, I'm gonna play with it. I might get it with the understanding that I'll probably keep it for like a year and then switch to something else in a year.
Probably to the Fold. Like I'm looking, Sam Rutherford has his hands-on of the iPhone Air that just went up. He calls it the super sleek precursor to Apple's upcoming foldable. He also gets a photo with Wozniak. That's kind of funny.
Nice.
Wozniak is there showing it off and people are taking a look. It is interesting to see. I want to see like more comparisons between this thing and the other phones, but just look. Oh, here we go. Looking at the camera bump.
There you go.
It's not that bad. Oh. And then this is two to. That is.
It looks like the new.
Next is Galaxy Z Fold 7.
Oh.
So that's not an iPhone comparison, but still. Look at the
Fold. That's super thin.
So like, look at the individual panels on the Z Fold 7. Like that is kind of what we're saying. Is like as Apple is exploring what it's like to build thin panels, they can. Right. Do what Samsung is doing. They just need to have some practice at it. Anyway, folks, take a look at all of our coverage on gadget.com. I do want to see what chat is saying. I know you guys are probably talking up a storm, but I'm going to go up from the bottom here. Jonathan Anderson is saying, I don't know about you, but he'll skip Apple's first Fold, their second generation one. Sure. You know, yeah, I tend to agree. We say this about most products, right? Always skip first gen new tech, but also... It's Apple.
If
they're late.
Feel something.
If you want to feel something, if you just want to ride that wave of gadget goodness, you know. The world is a hellscape. If you look at the news, everything is bad. If you want to feel a little good, I would not blame you for wanting to run something brand new. And also, I think Apple's had a lot of time to look at what Samsung is doing and look at how Samsung screwed up, and Google with some of the folds too. It's I think they've certainly learned a lot from the competition. What's up, Wes Jackson?
As somebody who bought the first iPhone and the first iPad and the first Apple Watch, I'm not proud of this. I get sucked in. I don't think I'm going to get sucked into the first foldable, because partially because I think it's just going to be, you know, $2,000, and I cannot justify that.
It's what are phone prices anymore, right? Like, what was Tim Cook mentioned some, like, hey, trade in any iPhone Pro and we'll give you a huge amount. I got to look up the actual number that he said. But
that's true.
Carriers and Apple themselves have been doing some pretty sleek deals when it comes to trade backs. Like, I remember when I switched to the Pro Max, like I forget what phone I had before, probably some form of 14, but Verizon gave me like $800 for it. So by then, you swap over, you're only paying a little more for the actual new one. So who knows? How all this stuff is going to work. Let's go through the chat a little bit here. Thank you all for joining us. Aaron, who looks like Aaron, our editor-in-chief, asks, is having a slightly thinner phone worth like 20% less battery life to regular people? I kind of think it is. It may actually, because we really do value aesthetics. Like, and the thing I've noticed, like, I'm into cars, or at least looking, I like what a well-designed car could be, like, as I am like choosing new vehicles and stuff. Like, I care about design. And your phone is kind of an extension of yourself. It's your most personal computer. So I could see people leaning towards the thing that's a little thinner and cooler looking.
Yeah, like I was saying earlier, I'll be really interested to see, like, does this take off with like normals? And I think it might, because
if the influencers do it, like if they see it all over social media, then that's what everyone's going to want. But go ahead. What were you going to say? Sorry.
Just that, like, yeah, I think this one, you know, obviously someone said, will you, you know, get 20% less batteries to get a thin phone? And I think like most people aren't going to think about it like that. They're going to say, like, does it work? You know, does it look cool? Is it thin? Like, with a little bit of like, oh, does it, does it last like through a day more or less? Mm-hmm. Like, it's so far people are going to get with it. They're not going to worry about the like actual like stats. So,
for sure. Jonathan Anderson says, there was the rumor that the iPhone 17 Air only has the iPhone Air only has one speaker. I don't think Apple fully. I haven't read the full news release on that.
Yeah, they didn't talk about it. I know that much.
That if that is the case, they certainly would not mention it in the live stream. But again, like, I do like the fact that you can use modern iPhones as just like little tiny Bluetooth speakers, because the speakers have gotten good. Sometimes I'm just walking around the kitchen with that because I don't want to put anything in my ears, and it's good enough for podcasts and some things. So you would lose that with an Air. Live,
we don't know.
Yeah, potentially. We did see the news that live translation is coming to AirPods Pro 2. So that's interesting, as well as the latest basic AirPods with ANC. So that's the AirPods 4, I believe. So that's, again, AirPods Pro 2. Those things have kept getting better and better over the years. It's wild. It's no wonder, like, I bought two pairs at this point. Has anything really impressed you from this event, Nate, or is it just like everything you expected?
It's everything I expected, and that's like fine. It's not a bad thing. I didn't need to be blown away. Again, like we talk about, like the product category is so mature at this point. You know, even when you think about the watch, like we're on the 11th one, like that is making me feel super old. Like it doesn't need to be, right?
Yeah.
To take a swing with something a little weird like the Air, and like that's fun. And then otherwise, like I'll just go and get the damn phone that I need to like get out of my life, which like is where we're at, you know?
Yeah. So I think our lack of enthusiasm was probably warranted for this event. I will say the Air looks more compelling than I thought it would, because thin devices, there was just something inherently cool about that. But it does seem like the big, big thing we're all waiting for is next year's rumored iPhone Fold, whatever like it's actually called. But also it's funny to be right at the tail end of an Apple event, be like, but next year it's going to be even better. It's going to be more interesting. I did see Mark Gurman also report on something around a supposed like iPhone 20, which would be like what the iPhone 10 was, like a major redesign in some fundamental ways that is separate from the Fold. So it'll be interesting to see like where things go next year for Apple. And yeah, we'll be here to see it. Anyway, stay tuned for more details. Like, we're going to have more hands-on impressions. Subscribe to the podcast feed and your podcatcher of choice, because Sherlyn and Sam and the TM Billy are at Apple's campus right now. They're going to be recording something and their thoughts about their hands-on. So that's going to be going up probably tomorrow. What is today? Today's Tuesday.
I'd say either Wednesday or Thursday.
Probably Wednesday, because we'll get that audio in and we'll just see. And yeah, folks, if you are interested in more coverage like this, be sure to check us out live Thursday mornings around 10:30 a.m. Eastern for the Standard Engadget podcast live stream. Thanks to the folks who joined us today in the chat. It's always a fun time. And thank you, Nate, for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks, folks. And yeah, stay tuned to Engadget.com. We'll have more on the new iPhone soon.